Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
7 nights of hell is what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7 nights of hell is in your ears, you. Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back to another December Bears setup. I hope everybody is ready. We said it here on this podcast. I'm ready to get my hopes up, ladies and gentlemen. I'm ready for the third week in a row. The Chicago Bears have scored 30-plus points. And if my Googles serve me correctly, as I double-check now, I don't think the Bears have done this since the year 2000.
That is correct.
I'm right about that. Okay. So, as usual, I'm your host, Scott. Here my brother Flows. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Scott, Net Flows and Delaney. Of course, you need to follow the brand that is the Barber's Chair Network on Twitter and Instagram at Barber's Chair Net. You can follow 79th and Hallis, the 79th and Hallis. That's an A-N-D for Hallis. And of course, if you're not a Patreon subscriber, man, come subscribe, patreon.com/barberschairnetwork. I feel I was, this is the first time all year where I was legit nervous at an outcome of a game because I wanted to win so badly. And now the Bears have a path. We have a path to making the postseason. Now, of course, that requires a little help from the Arizona Cardinals losing. But I like our chances. The Arizona Cardinals almost lost. They should have lost today to the Philadelphia Eagles. What's your thoughts after tonight's victory over and basically eliminating the Minnesota Vikings as the cherry on top?
Now I'm no longer in that, oh, draft pick mode. Them days is done. You won 7 games. You're getting nothing. So now I'm basically in a full send it mode. What I mean by that is, send it. Let's get to the playoff. You know, what are we wasting? You know what I'm saying? There's no reason for us to do anything else but get to the playoffs. It wouldn't make sense if we were to try to tank. And let's simply play. They simply play to the best of their ability. So, nah, bro, I am in full-blown send it mode. That's how I feel. Like when I saw the game, I was impressed that Mitchell Trubisky, David Montgomery is – on his way to 1,000 yards for the first time in his career, and
94 yards away.
I mean, an explosion to where he got. At one point, I'm like, "Nah, he won't get it." He was like at 300 something. Then all of a sudden, he creeping up. And during their times of makeshift players, they end up finding some good offensive line talent, and then the players who have it, they have stepped up tremendously. So I'm at this point, it's. There's no reason for them not to go out and give it their all. Next week is a full-blown what would the word be for the game that they're about to play?
All you got to do is show up to win that game.
Yeah, it's not even a setup game. This is a Vikings team that does not want to win.
Not Vikings team, you mean Jaguars team.
I'm sorry, bro. This is a Jaguars team that does not want to win. If they win, they forfeit that pick. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
That Jets win today over the Rams changed a lot of shit. For the Jets, for the Jets and the Rams. I think the game that we really need to pay attention to next week, more than anything, is a Packers game next week. If they win, they pretty much clinch. They clinch the first round bye. So they'd have nothing to play for in Week 17. And then I saw somebody tweeted me, which had a good point about maybe why wouldn't the Packers play Aaron Rodgers when they're already going to have a bye week? You don't want to be off for 3 weeks. And I was like, that's a good point, but you don't want to risk injury. And more also, with this new climate, you don't want to risk Rona when you got the playoffs. If I'm the Packers, I'm bubble wrapping Aaron Rodgers. You already got home field. Now, of course, there's not going to be any crowds, but that's a legit home field advantage because it's going to be cold as fuck in Lambeau. So that's still a home field advantage for them. So if
with the remaining teams in the NFC, who doesn't play in cold weather but the Saints?
But the Saints can finish in the second seed if you're in the NFC Championship game.
True.
You playing the Saints, you want to have that home field. Even though Tampa Bay, you know Brady is used to playing in the cold, so that won't be shit to him.
I'm not sure if it's going to have, especially because it ain't really been super cold this year anyway. I don't know Green Bay was Wisconsin's weather, but thanks to Google, I will look it up right now.
Green Bay forecast is 34 degrees today. On Sunday, it will be 28. So that's just January. And you know it gets cold in Wisconsin.
It's going to be 16 and 19 Thursday and Friday, which sounds like it's going to be a trend of getting low. So, I mean, yeah, but it's not that many teams in there outside of the Saints. The Saints always struggle in cold weather game.
Wanted to have the home field because you faced them in the NFC Championship game.
Cardinals, I guess, since they're a dome team.
The Cardinals not going to no damn NFC Championship.
Of course not, but just a
Green Bay plays the Titans next week, so that's going to be an interesting game. I still think Green Bay wins.
They're about to lose.
But that's going to be – I think that's Sunday Night Football next week. The Packers, I think, are going to win, but that's not going to be a runaway game. So I think those are two games we got to pay attention to. Packers, Titans, Rams, and Cardinals next week. Not Cardinals, but Rams and Seahawks next week, because Seahawks lead the division by one game. So if the Rams win next week, that means Week 17, they'll be playing for something against Arizona, trying to win the division. So I think those are two games. Like I said on Twitter, nothing is a given with this Bears franchise. But I 100% expect them to win next week. Like, the Jaguars don't want to win.
No, this is a dog. If I am the Jets owner, I would be infuriated.
Oh, nigga. Infuriated.
From a general manager's perspective, I'm there to win long term. So I don't care that you got one measly win. A coach's perspective, I mean, Adam Gase knows he's done for. So maybe he doesn't care. I don't know. But I saw certain things and I was like, even the Jets didn't look happy when they won. It's kind of like hey, shake hands. We didn't go 0-16. And they're one of the worst 0-16 potential teams that I ever saw.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure the 0-16 Lions beat them.
Would, and I don't even think it would have been that close.
I don't think so either.
This just was an abhorrent team. And I don't know what the Rams' excuse for losing that was. I don't.
I watched the whole game. I still don't know how the fuck they look. I feel like the Jets just came out from the jumped on them early, and the Rams could just never recover. And every time they got close, they did some bonehead shit. Like, they got close to taking the lead, and Jared Goff turned the ball over, which I keep saying Jared Goff is fucking terrible. So those are things we got to look at, man. But really, just if you're a Bears fan, you just got to win your games. Shout out to Steve Kornacki from MSNBC. They've been having him breaking down the playoff percentages for the last 3 weeks, and he
became a freaking household name because he was killing it on the election.
Exactly. And today he broke it down pretty much very well. No matter what, if the Arizona Cardinals and the Chicago Bears finish with the same record, whether it's 9-7 or 8-8, the Bears are going to the playoffs because the Bears have the tiebreaker. And you can attribute
the Bears have the tiebreaker
because we started 5-1, and most of those wins, we have a better NFC record than they do.
True.
So that's gonna come in handy. So if they go out there and they lose the next two and we go 1-1 and we're both 8-8, we're going to the playoffs. If they lose one and we still and we win both, we're going to the playoffs, they're going home. The fucking Vikings are pretty much done. Even on Kornacki's board, he had them as a 2% chance of them winning, man. So I mean, I also
want to say, you know, when it comes to beating the Vikings, first of all, it's a division opponent, so every division game
we're 6-1 against them, 5-1 against them now.
Yeah, which is boasters Matt Nagy's not getting fired. Unfortunately, I don't see how he gets it, especially if he finishes with 8-8 or 9-7. I don't see it. Now, that being said, I 100% want the Bears to fire Ryan Pace. But I know if they get a deep playoff run, everything changes, and it kind of is what it is. But in terms of this game, I have to give credit to the Bears. I have to give credit to him, because it's just a simple, efficient offense. And they score when they need to. They pick up yards when they need to. Drives where I thought, here come the Vikings. Bears lose, and the Bears respond. Cairo Santos are fantastic. It was weird. I forgot I interviewed Cairo Santos today.
Oh, okay. Yeah. By the way, I was looking at my phone at every kick he had today. It feels so comforting to have a guy that you know is money. And even from the answers that you tweeted on our page, he just seems like he's cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah. I don't even pay attention to whatchamacallit, to when his kids go up. I just go, it's going up. I literally turned away, I was talking to my girl, didn't pay attention. But with this game, man, this is a damn good win for the Bears. This is not a bad Minnesota Vikings defense. The offense has been a bit of a roll recently in terms of themselves finding identity. The Bears defense concerns me, but they did make stops when they counted, so I guess I'll leave it be.
If there's anybody on the defense I got to give props to, it's got to be Bilal Nichols, man. Bilal Nichols is having a hell of a fucking year. You know, Robert Quinn had a good game today. Finally. He got his first sack since week one. Stripped the ball out twice. Khalil Mack shared a sack with Bilal. So I think he's up to 9 sacks this year. The defense has to get better. Now, of course, I will give the secondary a little bit of pass because Jalen was out. But I also think, you know, Duke Shelley made a couple mistakes. Lindor made a couple mistakes. Vendor, is it Vendor or Lindor? It's Vendor, right?
And Lindor, I know, plays baseball.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm getting them mixed up with Frankie Lindor on the Cleveland team. It's Kendall Vildor. See, we fuck up names on this podcast. It's nothing personal, Kendall Vildor. We would love to have you on the podcast. Even though they made some rookie mistakes, I think they played pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, I think my biggest issue was
Kyle Fuller need a fucking tackle. Eddie Jackson ought to fucking tackle.
Them type niggas are never gonna learn to tackle, bro.
But Kyle ain't never been that bad at tackling.
Kyle ain't never been good at tackling. Yeah, he's been good at hard hits. Eddie Jackson.
Eddie's having a bad year in general, and I blame Chuck Pagano.
Eddie Jackson's not going to learn how to tackle. That's just not his role as a defender. He's a free safety, not a strong safety.
But what I mean by blame Pagano is Pagano don't let him play center field.
Well, he plays center field quite often. Because you got Gibson playing that stud role. Where Gibson comes up, and he's essentially, like, for instance, what's my man's on the Seahawks? He used to play for the Jets.
Jamal Adams.
Jamal Adams plays it. You know, when you that's another story.
But, you don't think he's the best safety in the league?
He's the best stud in the league.
Who else would be the best safety? I don't even know who would be in the
conversation. I'd have to check back. People look at his sack.
That's a conversation for a 2-minute drill.
No. Just to be briefly, I mean, because he's still an NFC opponent. His ability to rush the passer and to play a hybrid role is unmatched. He's one of the greatest rushers as a defensive back, but that's the role he plays. He is a stud. And what I mean by stud is not the term we colloquially use. What that means is commonly used. We say, man, that guy's a stud. No, I mean the literal role of stud.
College word. If Dammy was here, he would say that college word.
If you to look up right now and type in stud in football and want to know what that player is, it's basically the position that essentially is a linebacker, but also, I mean, it also is kind of a safety. It can vary. And then you have, there's a stud defensive end where the stud can have his hand down, but he can also have his hand up and play linebacker. It's essentially, what is the word? A player who occupies both positions. We had studs in high school because we ran a 3-3-5. They ran a 3-3-5, and so them linebackers were doing everything. And so when I see someone like Jamal Adams, I see that, but his cover skills are solid. But I said this to say with Eddie Jackson, he has been playing center field quite often because Gibson has come up and been at that stud position pretty often, at least than I can remember. It was different today because I was at home, and so it was a little more distractions, and I didn't get to see the whole field and see how they were doing, so I have to check the All-22. But, yeah, Eddie Jackson's having an underwhelming season.
Yes.
But I wouldn't say it's a bad season. Kyle Fuller's having a good season, but Kyle Fuller is – the nigga ain't going to learn how to tackle. That's just his character. His character is to get to the ball, occupy a space, break up passes, and lay some hard hits. He's a hard hitter. That came out of nowhere. But he's been
I think it kind of stands out because Eddie Jackson is the highest paid safety in the league right now after getting that deal in the offseason. So when you get that deal, people are always going to look at you a little bit more tight. Not me, but people. Bojack's my man.
I think what needs to happen the most right now was that you need to get rid of Chuck Pagano.
Yes.
That's and this is no disrespect against Chuck Pagano, but I don't think he understands the personnel that he has, you know, well. But at the same time, it's not like Vic Fangio didn't make bonehead decisions. I used to hate when I saw Khalil Mack stand up in a pass rush. But my issue with Chuck Pagano
is... They had him covering Adam Thielen one play. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, the issue with Chuck Pagano is that the pressure does not come when it needs to come. The pressure will come randomly. It's typically that front, that defensive front where that comes. So that kind of annoys me. Yeah. But I would definitely fire him. But other than that, this has been a very interesting past 2 weeks with the Bears. It seems like it's not even the same team at all.
Yeah, and so I think it was one thing I want to talk about because before we get into the actual game and other stuff I wanted to point out, I think my man Jay on Twitter, I don't know his Twitter name off my handle right now, but he was asking how should Bears fans feel right now? Like, because I feel fans who, like, you know, or we want them to go. And he said if I was confident that the ownership would let go of Nagy and Pace if they didn't make the playoffs, he would be fine with it. But he's not because he doesn't trust the management. If the Bears do miss, would they still fire them? So, I mean, this is how I feel as a Bears fan. This is me. I'm not saying anybody has to feel this way. But this is just me personally. Every year, what's the goal? Of course, the goal is win a Super Bowl, but on a smaller scale, especially for a team like the Bears, who rarely makes the fucking playoffs. Like we said, they've made the playoffs 5 times since the 80s. 5. It's fucking ridiculous. I feel like you play for January football, especially in a season where you have COVID football, where there's no crowds, there's no real home field advantage. If you can get in, get in. Who the fuck knows what's going to happen when you get in? I'm not saying the Bears are going to go to the NFC Championship game or no shit like that. But if you have a chance to get in, man. This is the best time to get in. And that's just pretty much how I look at it. I don't think we're going to be high enough for us to get a quarterback that will be franchise-altering, in my personal opinion. So I don't really care about draft picks. And I also do think if the Bears miss the playoffs, I still think people are getting fired. I don't know if Nagy might have a chance, but I think Ryan Pace is done. I think the only thing that saves Ryan Pace is the Bears making the NFC Championship game. I think this kind of reminds me of the 2012 season where the Bears had to, we had to beat the Texans or some shit to get in, and we lost to the Texans, and so even though we lost, we thought, all right, the Packers beat the Vikings, we get in, and the Packers pretty much rolled over because they had already clinched, and we didn't make it. We finished 10-6. Lovie Smith still got fired. So I think it'll be that situation. I don't think anybody, you know, that situation is changing with Nagy. If Nagy has to come back next year, the change has been they gave it to Bill Lazor. So that's cool with me on that. So I'm 50-50 with it. Like, I don't really care. Either way, I'm fine with it.
The issue for me is, the biggest issue for me is because we've been Bears fans for so long, we know what it's like when a position, a coach has a streak. And my issue with Bill Lazor now is not anything that he's done. My worry is, will this continue going forward? Or is this just Bill Lazor's streak of good play calling? Now, it's different with play calling versus a player. play calling, if you can handle yourselves for several games, I think you'll be fine. I don't see how you can jack up play calling that much right. to where you regress. Whereas a player, you can play well then regress. So I'm pretty confident in Bill Lazor right now. Matt Nagy, he's had a chance to oversee things, and that has allowed that's allowed the flow of the team. So I'm, it is what it is with him right now. But he'll it'll be a tough argument to fire him if the team goes 9-7. You go to 9-7. Nagy? Yeah, it'll be a tough argument because he'll have the best record of since the best record for 3 years is that first 3 years as a coach, and I don't know how long. I have to ask.
We got to look at Lovey's first 3 years because Lovey made the playoffs 2 out of 3 years. His first 3 years. He missed it 04, 05, and 06. Mm-hmm. They went.
So I'd have to know who he is. But it would be a tough argument to get rid of him. With that being said, it'll be really tough. But Ryan Pace, he has to go. I don't really care at all. I don't care what happens to him. I don't care if they win the Super Bowl. He has to go. Well, I take that back. Of course.
They win the Super Bowl. That nigga's getting an extension.
If we win the Super Bowl, nigga, I'm going to love him forever. But I'm intrigued. I'm very, very much intrigued. Okay, yeah, so Matt Nagy had the second best record since Lovey. Lovey was 5-11, 11-5, 13-3. Then he was ass. Nagy would be more than likely 12-4, 8-8, 9-7. There hasn't been anyone this good. Yeah, before Lovey, Dicker.
It had to be Dicker. It wasn't Dicker?
Nope.
Who the fuck was it?
Because Dicker was 3-6, 8-8, 10-6. And Love.
Those his first 3 years?
Mm-hmm. It wasn't Neil Armstrong. Wasn't Jack Parker. It wasn't Abe Gibron. What did Jim Dooley? This is a long time. It's a very, very long time. Lovey is definitely, was it Wani? Nope. Dick Geron? Nope. It was Lovey and Nagy will have had the best prop course outside of. Not even George Hallis' first year. So very, very interesting. But it'll be hard for them to find an excuse for them to get rid of him. That's my biggest worry.
So here's the next thing. There's so many question marks with this Bears team right now because it's like with the Mitch thing. Now, I think Mitch is playing well. I think the play calling has been very well. But I think the key to this offensive explosion the last 3 weeks is the offensive line. I think we finally looks like, knock on wood, got stability at the offensive line, you know, the offensive line core. You know, Mostafer coming in, kind of really helping that edge. The running game has been completely different. Mitch is getting protection. Mitch is having, you know, time to throw. Those are really, really have really helped. Like, Mitch wasn't spectacular today, but he was pretty fucking good. But the running game helped out more than anything. In this league, you need a fucking running game. And, of course, we doubted David Montgomery on this podcast. I doubted him. You did. We all did. And so to see how he's been playing the last 3 weeks with actual blocking has been fucking incredible. I love to see the actual dedication to the run. I think this is only the third time this year he's had 20-plus carries. And all that, he's still 94 yards away from being 1,000 yards. That's fucking incredible. So we know that helps out a lot. But with Mitch, I don't know if this is fool's gold yet or is he really improving?
I'm going to assume he's really improving. And it comes from the conversations Matt Nagy has had with media throughout the week and the conversations they've had with Mitch. And Mitch sort of had asserted himself within the offense. What I mean by that is he basically told Matt Nagy that, bro, I need a role in this offense. You know, not simply just to receive plays. I want to make suggestions. I want to be able to call outside of just cutting it off and going to your next killing off a play and going to your next one. He wants to be able to make decisions. And Matt Nagy rolled with that and allowed him to make input and decisions. And Mitch is starting to play to the best of his ability. That's the crazy part. And I know this is an article J.J. Stankovic wrote, and he was like, if certain things happen, you're going to have no choice but to resign him. I know Bears fans are get upset and will say, I'm not going to hear. I don't want to do that. But just bear with me real quick. You're not going to get a quarterback in the draft. That ended when they won. It probably ended last week, to be honest with you. When they won that sixth game, I was like, crap. I was like, that's it for that one. And then they won today. I'm like, you're not getting anything. You're going to get 20th, probably. And so right now, the best thing, and on top of that, in the draft, there's still good offensive linemen. And right now, the Bears have what a solid, a really good interior. Their best bet is to focus on getting tackles. And they might need to get a number two wide receiver because Anthony Miller doesn't even exist in the Bears' offense.
You got Darnell Mooney.
Hey, Mooney's more of a slot more than a bona fide number two. That's my worry. You know what I'm saying? He's a person to get you 600-700 yards. I'm not sure he's a person that can get that 900, possibly 1,000 yard. Allen Robinson has proved Allen Robinson is Allen Robinson. He's going to get them yards. He's going to be a bully. But Darnell Mooney is fantastic in his role. He just broke the single-season rookie record for receptions with 46, which was made in 54 and then tied by Johnny Knox in his rookie year. So I'm shout-out to him. But Anthony Miller is non-existent in this offense. And with that understanding, there needs to be a – there's plenty of things that they can do to get more on the offense. And quarterback is not going to be one because – I mean, unless you find a good one in the second round, sure. I'm sure they might take one, but I'm not sure it's going to be the focus right now. So when it comes to the Bears, there's a lot of decisions to make, and it depends on how they do these next few games.
Yeah.
I'm assuming a Jaguars win, and it's not to disrespect the Jaguars or just say every – you know, this is an easy
team. You're assuming
team.
The Bears win against the Jaguars? That's what
yeah.
You said you're assuming the Jaguars win.
I'm sorry. I'm assuming the Bears beat the Jaguars, not because I'm overlooking the Jaguars, but I know the Jaguars are trying to lose. People say, oh, man, you know,
Tanker doesn't – They put 23 guys on IR today.
Which I'm not sure if that was just parody or not.
Yeah. But it came from somebody that either way, them niggas are not trying to win next week.
It's funny because the dude is actually a reporter.
Yeah, that's so why I was like
– I'm sure he's just talking crap or just making a funny joke, but with the Jaguars, they're actively going to try to lose. People who think that people don't tank, you don't. The players are never going to tank themselves because football is too instinctual.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. So when a person's running towards you, you're not going to try to win.
Even in basketball, players ain't going to tank themselves like this. A lot of them players on them teams trying to fight for contracts.
True, but even when it comes to football, if a person's running towards you, you want to take a dive. No, you're going to go run after that dude because it's instinct. Your body's taking over. That's where the best players. What makes them stand out? The ability to focus and that muscle memory to kick in. So they're not going to tank themselves, but the tanking will come from the front office. The tanking will come from the coaches to say, take this person out. Sit him for some reason. Find a way. That's going to happen because the Jaguars need that number one pick. You have Trevor Lawrence right there. Now, you might have a quarterback who is pretty solid after him. Trevor Lawrence looks like he might be generational. And so you're going to need to go after them. And the Jets, with one win, look at them, morons. So I'm expecting a win. And then with the Packers, I don't know, man. I feel like the Packers just got the same mean streak that's always been in them. And what I mean by that is we're going to go over there and lay our opponent down, and we ain't going to let nobody get inside the playoffs. I don't see them sitting anybody. I don't care if they clinched it. I feel like they're still going to fully send it and try to beat the Bears and try to keep and prevent them from coming in. I mean, when's the last time they've set anybody? I don't remember Aaron Rodgers ever sitting in my life.
But then now, when's the last time the Packers been the number one seed?
Oh,
like
two,
2014.
Years?
That was the last time they were number one seed.
You sure about that?
Yes. The Packers are never number one seed. Packers haven't had home field. Remember that one year? I think it was like 20. The one year the Giants won when them niggas won, lost only like two games. It's like 2012.
Let us see. Last year was the Vikings. Wait. This seems incorrect. Wild card qualifiers. Okay, here we go. Division champions last year. What do you mean they won last year?
No, I said have a first round bye.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Who knows?
That's
2019. They were 13-3.
They didn't have a first round bye. They haven't had a first round bye since 2012, if I'm not mistaken.
2012-2014.
Huh. So that's the thing. Of course, I mean, yeah, it'd be peak villain, take the Bears. But if I'm the Packers, I'm not thinking about the fucking Bears. Like, that's not somebody I'm worried about them haunting me when we get in the fucking playoffs.
But football, I mean, when has resting ever really worked for football?
We're not talking about whether it works or not. But even in a COVID situation, I think more than anything, I'm not risking any of my star players getting sick before the playoffs.
That would make sense.
More than injury, but sick, I'm not risking it. If I have already clinched, there's no point in me playing. And I'm not saying sit everybody, but I'm not playing. I'm only just sitting Aaron Rodgers. I'll play everybody else.
I just don't see it, man. They got that mean streak, bro.
When have they ever but when you say you got that mean streak, when has that mean streak ever shown against us?
No, I mean when a chance where they have a clinched the playoff and they could rest and give their starter some time to recover before the next game. I've never seen them actually rest.
Because they've rarely in a spot, is what I'm saying. Like when I'm naming about the first round bye, they haven't had one in like 6 to 8 years.
Did they rest then in them 6 years before that?
They weren't the number one seed. So I don't even fucking remember what it was.
I just don't think it doesn't seem like it's in their DNA. That's my biggest issue. It doesn't seem like it's in their DNA to sit by and just say, you know, go here because we want to keep the person healthy. COVID makes sense.
Only way I see Aaron Rodgers playing week 17 is if they lose to the Titans next week. If they lose to the Titans next week, that means number one seed is still up for grabs. And I think Aaron Rodgers plays. Even if Aaron Rodgers don't play, you think I'm confident in the Bears beating Jordan Love? Hell fucking no. Like I said on my prediction, that's the way I would see the season ending. And Jordan Love beating us in Soldier Field in his first start. Either way, you're going to have to beat the fucking Packers.
What if he has a spectacular performance in QB controversy in Wisconsin?
Right. So, I mean, the Bears just have to win their games, man. That's really what it comes down to. Win these next two games.
I'm enjoying this entire season. I've enjoyed these last few games simply because my expectations are extremely low. My thing here is man, it's just time to win. It's time to win. And whether they are able actually to get that done or not, I can't tell. And so I won't put expectations on they're going to do this, they're going to do that. The best thing I could do is enjoy the games. I enjoy the games. I've enjoyed of course, the biggest thing for me this entire time has been David Montgomery and Mitch. David Montgomery, because Steve called David Montgomery when the Bears drafted him and said, watch out for him. He's going to be good. And I watched his tape when he was at Iowa State, and I loved him. I'm like, man, he's very, very good. And then you have Mitch. Mitch comes in, and Mitch is committed. Mitch has been able to run as much as he has since 2018. He looks as good as he has since 2018.
But this thing, man, I still don't trust it. Don't trust it. Like, to me, and even though you lay out a good scenario of a example that makes sense of him bringing it back, my personal opinion is, unless he continues to play well these last 2 weeks and plays well in the playoffs, I still don't see him back next year. That's just my personal opinion. And even as a fan, unless that thing happened, I don't want him back next year. I'm not buying it. I got to see a whole year of this before I believe that he's officially turned a corner. And that's not nothing against him. I think he's played extremely well. And even if, you know, the first two games against the Lions and who we beat last week? Houston. Those were terrible defenses. Now, Minnesota isn't a great defense, but their DVOA is 12. And even more importantly, Mitch has never really played that hot against Minnesota.
No, he's not.
So for him to go out there and play so well, and the confidence he has in his throws, his counts are better. Like, he does. Like, he made one bonehead throw today that he probably shouldn't have forced. But for the most part, I get it. I give him an A. So, he's been playing well. I think the play calling is helping him, getting him out the pocket. He's actually running. We haven't seen him running in 2 years. He's using his strengths. Lazor is putting him in positions to succeed, unlike Nagy. The running game, Dave Montgomery, is helping out tremendously. But with all that being said, I do not buy it. And the only way I want him back is if he plays as well in the playoffs.
I say that because I'm getting rid of Nick Foles. There's no reason to have him on my team. And then there's no one else to pick up unless you get a rookie. I mean, like there is no one else. Do you want to get Fitzpatrick? Is that the route you want to go?
They could overpay for Dak Prescott. Not saying I would, but there's always
Dak
that option.
Dak is clearly a better player than Mitch. And I wouldn't be mad if they picked up Dak Prescott. I think he would make plenty of teams way better overnight. But I don't know.
There's a lot of decisions here, and it really just really comes down to who's going to be the person making these decisions in a couple weeks.
That's true. That's also
because, like I said, despite the actual playoff run of two actual playoff wins, I don't see anything really changing in the grand scheme of things of who's going to lose their job.
I don't think so either. I think the decision is made. And I think they're going to stick with it and they're going to keep moving. It has to be something miraculous.
Yeah.
They're going to have to go on a run for the ages, whether that be to the NFC. It's going to have, I have to say it has to, what is it? Which of a wild card division NFC, you got to make it to the NFC championship to not be fired. Is exactly. And that gives them extension. You make it to, you beat the NFC championship, well, nigga, you everybody get extensions. Nobody's leaving. So I don't know, but you know, with Mitch, in terms of being cautious, yeah, that makes 100% sense. But it's different when a player goes through a long time of trashness and then finds himself. That really backfires.
Oh, I mean, I get that, but I got to see a year of him finding himself instead of getting happy about three games. I got to see a whole season.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's fine. But in order to see a whole season, you'll have to re-sign him. And in talking with media around the Chicago area, a lot of people are starting to hear chatter that if Mitch continues it, he'll get an extension. It won't be a big extension. It may be a year or two, but with the QB market not looking good outside of a high draft pick, there's no one else to get. Dak Prescott will be hot on the market because Jerry Jones is a moron.
Yeah.
And Dak Prescott will have a lot of suitors. And I think the Bears are already in a terrible cap situation right now. Why would they want to get more?
Good point. These are all solid points. I just want to name off David Montgomery's last four games. 11 carries, 103 yards, 17 carries, 72 yards, two touchdowns, 11 carries, 113 yards, touchdown. Today, 32 carries, 146 yards, two touchdowns. Total, that's 71 carries, 434 yards, five touchdowns. He also has 13 catches on 16 targets for 137 yards and a TD. He's one of four running backs who have over 500 yards rushing and 300 yards receiving. He's in there with Alvin Kamara and a couple other dudes. I saw, like, the graphic during the game today. So he's been balling out, man. He's been balling out. They need to continue to feed him, make the game easier for Mitch, and keep giving him the fucking ball, man.
Yeah, I agree heartily.
So I'm going to give my Walter Payton player of the game ball to David Montgomery. Giving it to Demo. The defense has to get better. We need more pressure on the quarterback. Chuck Pagano's got to stop playing so much soft-ass coverage. They made plays when they needed to at the end of that. You know, that last throw kind of scared me a little bit. I'm glad Sherry McManus was able to get it.
I was like, oh, crap.
This feels like the most important 2 weeks in Bears history in an extremely long time. I feel like a lot of the future of the franchise rides on these last two games.
True.
Because we like, we know.
Whereas in 2012, nothing rolled on anything because it was the first year. And nobody expected them to go that far because it was the first
year. That was kind of end of the run of the Lovey years. We all know the defense was getting old.
I'm going to say, sorry, 2018, the Mitch's second year.
Oh, okay.
Nike's rookie season.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, man. But, you know, like I think I tweeted, I don't think playoff scenarios, at least in our time as Bears fans, have ever worked out for us. Some stupid shit
never.
Stupid shit always fucking happens. So it's 2020. It will be some 2020 shit for us to finally work out. But more than anything, man, it just at least makes the last 2 weeks exciting. At least it gives you something to watch for. And we're not just dead inside for these last two games. So it's exciting. My personal opinion, I do not think we're going to make the playoffs. I think we'll get close, and I think we're going to look back like we really should have held on to that Lions game.
Yeah.
I do think that's going to bite us in the ass.
Could have got us 10-6.
Yeah.
And we would have been like, damn.
Had we'll a little be sitting more right now, at and we'd be tied right now with Arizona, which means we would have the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
I think that's all we got covered. Of course, we got the preview pod this week against the Jaguars, man. Before we got, what'd you
that's
think?
That's going to be interesting. I have to find stuff to talk about because there's nothing to talk about with the Jaguars.
Yeah, they're terrible.
I'm going to ask my homies who are Jaguars fans how excited they are for that number one
pick. Who did they play today? They lost. They lost. There was a Tennessee they played?
They got smoked is all I know.
Yeah, they got smoked because Minshew's back in there. One thing before we get out, what do you feel like the pulse of the team was in postgame? Like, were people excited? Were they like even killed?
Focused. I feel like they think they're gonna go on like a Super Bowl run. I know it sounds weird, but the way they're talking, it was like, man, we ready. Whereas 2018, of course, I wasn't media then. That was a team that just was excited. You know what I'm saying? Maybe a little too mature. This team is a team that's weathered the storm and they're trying to stamp out and make a statement. They really, really look focused.
Well, that's good to hear, man. We're gonna see what's gonna happen over these next 2 weeks, man. You know where to follow us, man. As usual, follow me at BarbChairScott on Twitter and Instagram. Follow my brother Flows at Flows and Delaney on Twitter and Instagram. Follow 79th and Hallis, 79th A&D Hallis on Twitter. Follow Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. And subscribe to our Patreon, man. If you want to hear our preview podcast, you want to hear extra summer sessions episodes, everything else we got coming, cinema with the guys, subscribe, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. We've got a lot of subscribers in December. We want to appreciate y'all for that. Shout out to y'all. So we only got a couple more weeks, man. We got two more games. So that's like four more podcasts. Maybe we'll have 79th in playoffs. Maybe we have that. Maybe we don't, man. So just buckle up for the end of this Bears season, man. And bear down and we out.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner. So you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.